Ladies and gentlemen, hello everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. How are you doing? How have you been? Hi, mom and Nim. Today is June 25th. Happy belated Juneteenth to everyone. I actually forgot to mention it because I was trying to plan some stuff for it and then everything just kind of went shoop. We'll get to that. But yeah, thank you guys for your support. Thank you for listening. Thank you for hitting the Patreon. I saw some new patrons over there, so thank you very much. We also got some emails on Patreon that we'll be reading during this episode, so you can also get yours read as well on the podcast. Just stop by patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. It's free 99 to follow, and you can send me messages there about the podcast, even about the stream if you want, the streams I do over on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib. But yeah, hit me up on Patreon. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Write me in with questions, comments, you know, whatever you got for me. And like I said, it's free to follow. And if you do decide you want to join up, it's only $3. So getting a little bit of extra bang for your buck over there. We're working on a new bit of content. There's a lot of summer gaming stuff going on. And I love video games. So I'm going to be addressing some of those upcoming games that we've seen from the Xbox Showcase, from the Summer Games shows, just anything I can get my hands on. And then we might actually have a guest on the podcast. So you're definitely going to want to check out Patreon. That one might actually end up being a paid exclusive just because it's I think we're going to have a pretty interesting conversation. I'm excited for it. It's been a long time since I've had a guest on the podcast. And we're going to test this whole thing out and see if that's what you guys are in for. And if you are, great. We're looking forward to do more of that in the future when it's appropriate and we find the time. But yeah, man, I hope you guys have had a great weekend. I had this weird like tickle in my throat. I'm going to make myself some tea here. And through the magic of editing, you'll never even know I was gone. See? You guys didn't even notice I was gone, did you? All right. So yeah, bro, I gotta be honest with you guys. I think technology is really neat. I'm sure most of us do. It's neat, it's wonderful, it's fun, it's cool, it's all those wonderful things, right? Technology is also a major pain in the ass because it seems like as tech gets better, it gets worse at the same time. Like, some of you maybe have an Android phone. Some of you might have an iPhone. I have a Samsung phone, and they introduced a new AOS, like a new iOS update, or not iOS, but a new operating system update. And it changed a bunch of stuff that didn't need to be changed, like just the way that you access your notifications, the way you unlock, just the way you swipe your lock screen to either read notifications or unlock your phone. Different touches for when you're scrolling through emojis, they added a delete button that covers up about a quarter of the emojis on your screen, so you can't see them or access them. And if you tap it on accident, you're deleting stuff that you're trying to type into the message bar. Stupid shit like that. Like, no one asked for these dumbass features. Anybody who uses it is pissed off. And the way you could tell is because not even a week after the update launched and people were mad about it, people were making videos on how to revert back to the old operating system, or at least to get your settings as close to that as possible. And it's like, why are you messing with stuff that ain't nothing wrong with it? Like, it's fine just the way it is. Why do you keep updating stuff? And why do they update shit and then it breaks? Like, we updated it. Did you? Because it seems like it's dumber now. Also, just, I mean, everybody has concerns about AI, questions about AI, right? I personally don't think, well, I know it's not at the point where it's going to start thinking for us and like turning on ovens and heaters and trying to torch us to death or anything like that. I don't deny that there are definitely some serious ethical questions about how it should be used and how it should be applied, and we have to be mindful about that kind of stuff. I noticed it a lot. Just in doing like research for stuff for my own personal edification, trying to find an answer to a question. And then the first thing I see, whether it's Brave or Safari or Google, Google's biggest abuser, but like Brave browser, which didn't have this issue first, now does. They've introduced a generative AI thing to kind of scrape answers from across the internet for me. I didn't ask for this feature. I don't want this feature. I just want to be able to go to the internet, look for the thing that I'm looking for, and be done with it. I don't need an AI bot trying to suggest things to me, trying to cultivate the news or the information that I'm trying to get. I don't need that. I don't want that. I've never asked for it. But for some reason, it's shoehorned into everything. And it gets worse when people, like, you know, think that they're improving something, but really all you've done is just add an extra step between myself and Toast, right? And that kind of mentality is bedraggling to some people. There's another thing too, like, you guys know I'm a gamer, you know, obviously, see me on Twitch, and I love my Xbox, I love the console and the platform, all that jazz, right? They had a new update that came out recently. I'm part of one of their update programs to kind of test stuff before they launch it to the general public, where when you select a game to play, it also pulls up another tab before you go into the game. And there's a play button there. You can just double tap, basically. You tap the button once to open the game tab, tap the button again to start playing. But what they've done is they've created an extra step in between you and the game with, you know, the information from the game's official club or maybe an upcoming event. If you want to buy upgrades for your, you know, X, Y, or Z thing, you want to purchase some DLC, buy some in-game currency. Basically, it's another way for them to really, they don't really give a shit about you, like maybe clicking on a game you didn't really want to play. The real truth is they're trying to make sure that they sell you more shit. But nobody asked for that. I know where the store is if I want something. I know how to navigate to that tab. Thank you very much. You don't need this. See what I mean? It's just like, it's weird stuff because it's like, no one was really screaming for this, right? I know you're just trying to make more money. I know you're just trying to scrape more data out of me when you put the AI bots into like my search engines and shit like that. I know that's what you're doing. The offensive thing is that you're trying to sneak it in there like I don't know. At that point, it becomes an insult to my intelligence, and that pisses me off more than anything. You know what I mean? I'm not a stupid person. You could at least have the decency of saying, hey, this is available for you if you'd like to use it, and I could be like, no, thank you. And even if you're not going to actually adhere to that request and like sneak it in the background, like, tell them I said no, we're still going to put it in there. At least do me the decency of like trying to hide it better. Lie a little better if you're going to do it. You know what I mean? Anyway, I don't know. I've just been thinking about it a lot lately. Like my phone just, I've had woes with this phone for like the last year. Can't really afford to get an update because, you know, it's going to cost X, Y, or Z amount of money. Even though, like, AT&T was telling us they were going to pay off, like, a chunk of this phone to get us into the new Samsung. Part of me is like, I don't want that shit, man. Like, there's so much bloatware that goes into a quote-unquote top-tier phone, like an iPhone or any kind of Android phone, basically. They put so much extra crap on your phone that it's basically half full when you buy it. And then on top of that, they've taken away the ability to add expandable storage. Do you remember that used to be a thing? You could drop an SD card into your phone and have extra storage for games, apps, photos, music, videos, whatever. That shit is gone, children. Remember last time I went to go buy a phone? I remember maybe the first time we went to go and upgrade our phones after my wife and I started talking about it. I went to go like, do they have like an upgradable SD card slot? The girl looked at me like I was asking her if this thing came with with manticore teeth. Like, an upgradable SD card slot is not a new thing. It's an old technology. It's an old addition to phones, and it worked just fine. We always had them. And she's like, no, you can buy one with a larger hard drive. I'm like, but this hard drive size only goes up to 512 gigs. You don't have like a 2 terabyte phone hiding somewhere back there, do you? She's like, no. I'm like, what the fuck are we talking about then? Like, why can't I stick a card in this thing? I got like a 1 terabyte. I forget how many gigs this thing has. I have a Nintendo Switch with a pretty decent hard drive on it. And I have a memory card in there that I save games on when I buy digital games as infrequently as I buy games for the damn thing. If a Nintendo Switch can have an SD card slot, why can't my phone? My phone costs way more than a Nintendo Switch. Like, your average cell phone's going to cost you anywhere between, like, $800 to $1,200. That's an average cell phone. You know what I mean? There are cheaper options, but if you're getting a cheaper option, you might as well just have a regular-ass landline at this point, right? So, if you're looking for a decent smartphone, it's going to cost you a chunk of change. Why the fuck can't I upgrade the storage on it? I'm not saying I need, like, you know, be able to, like, plug it in to a supercomputer or anything like that. It's already fast and as good as it's going to be right now, but why are you making things more difficult? And you're making them, the phones are getting bigger. You're taking away features though. Like, their styluses are going away. Cases are weird as fuck to find for stuff. Like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to go to a different kind of phone company now that I've had the OtterBox brand for my case. I don't know if I could actually navigate away to something like the Nothing Phone or the OnePlus, which I would love to do. I think that it's a better ecosystem. You know, the phones are of comparable quality and power and, you know, all that jazz. But they're way less expensive and they're way less wasteful. And they're looking to be more future forward with the management of their upgrades and updates and stuff like that. Fairphone's another one. Like, I'd love to get one of their phones, but can I find an OtterBox case for it? OtterBox case has been saving this phone. I can't tell you how many times I've dropped this thing, just not even far, just like from like my knee to the floor when I'm sitting down, and it saved this phone. But I mean, just like the idea of, you know, you spend that much money for technology and then something happens to it and they're like run you through, you know, the ringer to try to get it fixed or whatever. You know, the drama that I've had with my headphones recently. And I've got the new Razer Black Shark. I think it's like Black Shark V3 or something like that. Like the version 3 one. The Black Shark V3X. It's all right. And I'm right home about. I would have rather had my Razer, a Kraken, the original Kraken headset back. But good luck trying to find one of those. I saw one once and I haven't seen it again. I'm still looking for, I can't believe that I didn't bookmark the page where I saw it. I was so upset. But yeah, I mean, this is supposed to be an upgrade, right? Strictly technically speaking, this is a budget headset. Like, it is in that budget cost range, like between like $50 and $80 for a headset, which is not horrible. But it feels like a budget headset. It doesn't feel sturdy like the Kraken. And I think the reason why is because they're like, man, people won't keep buying them if we don't make them so that they'll break every 3 years. I got news for you, Razer. As soon as I can find another Kraken headset, or I can find some replaceable, like some of the slip covers for the ear cups that don't have that gel foam shit in them that made me sick. I'm taking these bitches back. This headset is not going to remain in this house very long because I don't care for it as much as I love my Kraken. That's just all there is to it. It's a far superior piece of equipment. And for all the hell I've had trying to find a replacement one, I know that there's somebody out there who got one. So we'll be working on that shit too. I don't know. There's so much crazy shit going on in the world though. It's just so weird. Now, the thing about technology that was just a thing that came up to my brain. I was like, I can't believe how good technology's gotten and still how bad. I just don't get it. I do, you know, but I have been playing a lot of Genshin Impact lately. Now, this game is technically older than, probably older than most other games of its ilk. And so many other people I know are like super stupid far advanced levels in it, and it's awesome for them. But I never really played games on my cell phone. It never got ported to Switch like they said they were going to like 4 fucking years ago. And it just recently came to Xbox. So I got it as soon as I could get it. I even paid $10 for like the little Founders Edition kind of, you know, bonus add-ons and stuff like that. To support the game, because I like it. It's a great game. It's fun. it is sucking my freaking life, man. Like, I'm thinking about this game when I fall asleep. Just, I love the artwork. I love the world. And there's, like, you know, a little bit of intrigue. There's a little bit of whimsy. It's just a fun game. I can see why so many people sank so many hours into it, because it absolutely got me. It's got me by the short ones, man. Like, I am so into this game. And then they come up with one that's like more of a science fiction, cyberpunk kind of game called Zenless Zone Zero. If you've never heard of it, look it up. It is exactly my kind of game. You know, you've got mechas and robots and, you know, crazy like science fiction, net diving kind of stuff. There's anime girls, anime guys, there's dog people, there's shark girls and cat ladies. It's just, it's all things weebish, I guess. But it's fun. It's fun. And like the aesthetic of it is probably my favorite thing. There's just something about the way that they've designed this game that really catches my attention. And no, it's not just the anime jiggly things, for those of you who are going to be asking, although that's nice. There's just an overall like cyber future forward. It's like near future kind of aesthetic to it. It's not quite cyberpunk. Like, cyberpunk is usually kind of gritty and gross and like, not gross. It's like gritty and rusty, but at the same time kind of slick, and everything kind of feels like it's got a little bit of oil on it. This just looks very smooth and slick and clean. And there's something about that I really enjoy. It just hits that one little center of my brain is like zing, and I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. But I've learned that about myself over the years, because I was, like I said, I was switching up from super high action kind of games and trying to do like the latest and greatest. I'm like, let me just play shit I like, and then if people like watching me on Twitch, they'll follow, you know what I mean, they'll come around. And that has largely been the case. But I find that I'm doing a lot more cozy gaming. Like, to me, Genshin Impact is kind of a cozy game. Yeah, there's action and stuff like that, but it just feels so much more relaxed in the pacing and whatnot. I don't know. I've been really stoked with it. And while like, I'm a big fan of first-person shooters and stuff like that, lately nothing's really blown my skirt up in a way that I'm like, ooh, I gotta get that. You know what I mean? If it doesn't come out on Game Pass, I'm probably not gonna see it. Bungie's Destiny is dying anyway, and so like me and the crew are trying to figure out like what game to switch over to, because I just had enough, man. It's just like they keep screwing up every step of the way. If they're not overcharging people for shit in their cosmetic store, they're doing random stuff. Like, they're taking away one of our favorite game types, which is the only thing that adds longevity to the game for me, right? Once I get through the story, if I can get through the story, because sometimes the stories just either become overwhelmingly oppressive or they're just boring and I'm not concerned or invested, really. But once I finally get through the story, at the end, I'm not the kind of dude that's going to sit around and play like one snippet of it over and over and over again. Like, there's raids and strikes. There's basically big events, basically. And they do tell some of the story of the game, but it doesn't change. It's the same story every single time. It's the same mechanics every single time. And so once you've done it once or twice, I mean, there's nothing really to go back to the well for. And why would you play the story more than once if you already beat it? I don't get that at all. Like, I get the idea of a new game plus. Like, maybe if there's some extra content or something like that, perhaps. But nah. Nah, just for the hell of it, I gotta find something different. I don't know what, though. I don't know what. And there's other games that I have that I haven't finished the stories in that I could go back and play, but some of them, I think maybe I outgrew them, or I never was really fully invested in them all the way. Like, I played a good chunk of the Tom Clancy's The Division and The Division 2. And while I enjoyed those stories in those games, it just after a while, I was kind of like, I'm over it, you know? Even like Ghost Recon Wildlands, once I beat the main story, I found very little reason to go back and play the game, unless it was just to do, you know, crazy shit with my friends. Even the DLC, which I do enjoy to a certain degree, like, I feel like some of the DLC didn't quite meet my expectations. It wasn't horrible, they were good, but it just, as far as like returning back to the game for it, I was like, I don't know. Now, there's one, I'm trying to remember, for Call of Duty that was really good. Say it was Ghosts or whatever. Not Call of Duty, I mean Ghost Recon. One of them was something, I forget the name of it. There's one where you play like a different side story. It's like another group of mercenary kind of dudes, which was really cool. The one Narco Road that I got, though, I was like, I don't know if I'm really for, you know, basically SSX tricky in giant, you know, monster trucks and shit like that. Like, there's games for that. I just didn't know if it was really my thing. So it's hard out here in these streets to find cool games, man. What a dumbass problem to have. It's not even a problem. I'm just talking about it because I was thinking about it. I do have to find something else to play for stream, though. I might go back to Kaiju Big Battle. And maybe I'll pull out one of my old Final Fantasy games out of my ass. I go back to Final Fantasy VIII, which I loved. And I think is probably one of the most perfect Final Fantasy games ever made next to 9. I would definitely have to pick up a walkthrough, though, to remind myself where I need to go. That's one thing that those games really could have benefited from when they decided to put them forward for the Xbox would have been, hey, man, can we put like a journal system in here or something? You know, like, remind me where I'm going, because I've played so many different games over the course of a week. I forget how to play, how to actually use the controller sometimes. Like, which button does what now? You got to make sure we got a journal. That's one of the things I love about Genshin Impact, by the way. They have like a whole quest log you can like look through and see, oh, I'm doing this one, and these are the side quests that I have right now. And then there's also these extra missions for extra stuff. Got it, boss. Let's do it. That's really cool. Anyway, rambling a little bit. It's because there's so much weird shit going on in the world. I'm trying to keep my brain together, man. But it's like, it feels like it's spiraling out of control.
Everything's going crazy, Captain. We're losing control of the ship.
I had to make some lunch today, too. I mean, it's already close to noon. By the time y'all hear this, hopefully it'll be ready to go and on the platforms by like 4 or 5. And maybe you'll get to stop by a stream and tell me what you think of the pod. But, yeah, man, I gotta start making food earlier. I mean, I hate that I can't eat eggs. I wish I could find a medication that would let me be able to, even if I can't eat like regular, you know, gluten, can't have lactose like that anymore, I can probably work my way around those two things. But if I could just have freaking eggs, just being able to make scrambled eggs on like even like a gluten-free bagel with a little bit of ham and some, like, maybe if I don't do cheese, just like side of grits or something like that. It's a just, I want to be able to eat friggin' eggs again. Bacon and eggs, super simple breakfast. I used to make it all the time, you know, when I was like growing up and when I was, you know, when I was single and living on my own. And then recently now I can't eat eggs at all without having severe stomach pains. And it's a real pain in my ass, both figuratively and literally. But I would just give anything to be able to eat eggs again. I gotta see if there's like some kind of genomic therapy. They're like, hey, we give you this pill and you can eat eggs again, but you're gonna grow mushrooms out of your back every 3 weeks. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I want to eat eggs again. If I don't have to pay for mushrooms, great. I don't know, man. It's just, I know it sounds bizarre, but I love, like, the idea of making your own lunch for work is pretty cool. I always liked that. And I don't know if people really do that much anymore. I think people spend way too much on like just eating out and whatnot. That is one thing I did kind of miss about working a regular 9-to-5, was just making my own lunch and bringing it to work. I know it sounds weird, but there was something kind of like a, I'd say it's like a romantic ideal of how like your day would go. I don't know. Oh my God, I made that pork roast. I talked about it on the podcast last week, and I was inviting people to come over, and we're going to do tacos, maybe some of the, just mainly the neighbors, really. Maybe a couple of other friends, we're going to have them over and do tacos and stuff. And I made like, and this is like an 8-pound pork roast. Like, I mean, like a pound and a half of like chicken, because I knew there were some people who probably wouldn't eat pork. We had refried beans, rice, all the fixings for basically like white people taco night. So we had like shredded lettuce and tomatoes, diced tomatoes and cheese, you know, whatever. We had sour cream, but then for the people who wanted more hardcore, like regular Mexican tacos, I had limes and I had cilantro and I had diced onion. And, you know, of course, you got like hot sauce, you got tajin, you got tapatio, not tapatio, we have no Cholula sauce. So we had all this great shit, and nobody came. And it made me, at first it was kind of like hurt my feelings, but then I start thinking about it, I'm like, you know what? I did ask people like a week ago. And that's a week, I feel like a pretty significant amount of time to make some plans. But also, I keep forgetting too, some of these people got kids. Some of these people, I mean, obviously they have jobs and stuff like that for most part. But they got other responsibilities of their own. I'm like, you know what? I had to manage my expectations on shit like this a little better. Next time I do something like this, I'm going to make sure I plan this shit out like a month in advance. Because I want to make sure I get people enough time to be like, hey, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be here. It's still in their mind. You know what I mean? I'd be like, hey, I'm going to send like a weekly update. Be like, yo, just remember, 3 weeks. Just remember, 2 weeks. Just remember, this weekend. But yeah, it was like, it probably wouldn't have been as bad if it wasn't for the fact that like I was super like focused on, hey, you don't have to bring anything. You don't have to do anything. You just need you to show up and eat this shit and hang out. So I was a little bummed out about it. But I'll be honest with you. Like, I felt kind of like maybe I should have done a better job of planning it in the long run. You know what I mean? Like, giving people a little bit more running room so they could be like, yeah, we're doing this on that day because we've made plans for it. Shit like that, you know? I'm going to try to be more mindful of that kind of shit. And then also, you know, instead of being disappointed that nobody came, I was like, shit, I got all this stuff. I can make tamales later. I don't have to bother with nothing. I don't have to cook another roast. What we can eat, we'll keep in the fridge. What we can't, we're going to freeze and we'll make tamales later. So I just basically set myself up for success. So I'm not tripping at all. See, it's a power of positive thinking, kids. You're doing the right thing. No, it's not Twitch's fucking gifts up. Twitch on some bullshit lately too. I mean, I'm on Twitch because it's where I got my affiliateship and because I make money there to a certain degree. But they are doing all the wrong stuff when it comes to how to monetize and do profit sharing and whatnot. Now they have this thing called a gift sub beta. This is fuck shit right here. Basically, what I can do is I can offer for people to get a discounted subscription to my stream, which is cool, right? Hey, it's not a super expensive thing. It's usually about $5 to $6. That's cool if you got $5 or $6 to spend, but I can discount it. I think it's up to like 35%. Here's the fun part. Twitch ain't trying to do nothing. They're like, yeah, we're not paying out like we were paying for a full sub, obviously. They're like, you're going to get a discounted amount of revenue from the little part, you know what I mean? I want to see what the actual split is, though, because they've been very tight-lipped about what the actual split is. Are they still taking half of it? Because if I discount this thing by 35%, let's say it comes out to be like, you know, $350, $375 or whatever, and from $5, how much of that are they getting? Are they getting the amount of money that they would take if it was a full $5? They're getting $250 and I'm getting the leftovers? Or are they going to cut their portion of the pie in half? I don't think they're going to. I don't know if they will. They might. In all honesty, they might, but I don't trust it. I know it sounds like I'm being kind of sour grapes on it. Like, they're giving you something. Yeah, because that's their tack, though. They're just like, well, you know, if people are more likely to subscribe if they don't have to pay as much money. And that means that you could potentially get more subscribers. And then you'll still earn as much money as you did before. If not, maybe more, because you have more people. I'm like, nah, you could try to sell this shit to me any way you want to. I don't trust you. The only reason I am here is because I haven't found another alternative yet that works. If I do, I am running to the fucking hills, baby. I'm out. Probably wouldn't hurt to try, you know what I mean? I wonder if there's a way. I know we talked about it once a long time ago about trying to find another alternative or build another alternative somehow for streaming services for gamers. Just the infrastructure it would take alone is daunting. I'm pretty good at idea man shit, but when it comes to the actual nuts and bolts of something like that, I'm not sure that I got that. I do got some other stuff. Oh, yeah. Like I said, I got some questions I'm going to read here in just a minute. Real quick, we're going to talk a little bit of shit right now. Super cool thing having Trump for president, isn't it? Not only the bombing of Iranian nuclear facilities, which, by the way, were evacuated and had the nuclear material removed, so they were completely useless and pointless bombings. And also, they said it wouldn't set back their uranium enrichment program for more than a few months. They could be up and running operational somewhere else within, like, the next 2 months. So, like, good job, dipshit. Like, what a moron. And then, like, the whole lying about, like, oh, we're working with the working out a peace deal between Iran and Israel. We're very excited it's coming along. Yeah, the fuck it's not. When Iran goes, we're not doing that shit. Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying? God, man, he lies so much. It's like, it feels like it's a new language. Like, you almost have to learn how to interpret his lies to understand what's going on. Because he's just going to keep lying. He's not going to stop. And when he gets caught in a lie, like I said before, like I think made the example on the pod at least too, is like, it's like watching a toddler who just ruins shit and just stomps out of the room. Then they come in, they throw their juice cup across the room, pour Cheerios down the fucking, you know, air vents, you know, slap the dog, take the remote control, stick it in their diaper, and just walk out like a tornado. That's how he acts. You know what I mean? He just doesn't, he is like, it's like watching a fucking drunk toddler. It's so fucking weird. It's a weird way to be as a human being. Forget a president. Forget even a businessman. Just as a person, it's a weird person to be. Like, it's a very bizarre individual to be. Just like, I'm not accountable for anything. Whee! You're like, really, dude? This is life for you? That's wild. I could not imagine it. Like I said, they dropped the bombs. Hey, you didn't hit it. Yeah, we did. We did great. Congratulations to our troops. Hooray for freedom. And then the idiots who believe him are like, man, he's making the world safe. He's making America great again. How? How? And Israel fucked up too because they started fucking with Iran. Iran's like, hey man, look, the U.S. got to get here first to help you out. You right next door. Keep playing. And Iran was like, Israel's like, Israel got that little brother syndrome. Then we got that annoying ass little brother who goes around and fucks with people and then comes running back home to the big brother to keep them safe. That's Israel right now. They've been playing these stupid ass games. They're going to fuck around and get themselves irradiated. Like, you don't have to worry about fighting over the Gaza Strip, motherfucker. Like, you got to worry about stripping your bones off because you're going to peel and eat people if you keep fucking around. I mean, and a lot of people get mad when you say this kind of shit, but like, fuck Israel for this. They are clearly the instigators and have been for a while. There's definitely an easy solution. Just give these people the land and leave them alone. That's all they want. They don't want anything else. They just want a place to call home. Why is that so hard? For people who, biblically speaking, were forced to wander the desert for 40 years being displaced, you would think the Israeli people would have maybe the people do, but at least the government, let's say just Israel as a whole, just a blanket statement, we're not necessarily condemning all Israelis, but we'll say like the Israeli government, you think that just based on the biblical history of their people, they'd be like, you know what, it's kind of shit to have to wander around and not have a place to live. We could peel off a piece of land, it ain't gonna kill us. And besides, if we treat them nice, maybe we can get some shit from them too. Win-win, right? We look like the good guy. They get a place to stay. We work out some trade and win some, you know, win a little bit of faith in the people. What's not to love? You see how easy that sounds? You see how easy that, how simple and stupidly simple it sounds? And yet they won't. Why? Why? What is to be gained? I want someone to explain to me, what is really the end game here? What do you really get out of this aside from just looking like a bunch of dickheads? I don't understand it, and it makes me sick. Yeah, and then Trump, like I said, Trump doesn't help anything.
Let me start doing bombs. Man, you send some bombs. They don't know what the fuck they're doing over there.
You don't know what the fuck you're doing right here. I don't even know how the fuck he's president. Let's just be real. I don't think he even knows where the fuck he's at half the time. You're talking about Joe. At least Joe seemed to have his shit together. You know what I mean? Like, he was old, but at least he seemed to be like, at least, like, hey, man, I am the president. I probably shouldn't be acting the ass out here in these streets. Trump's like, eh, do what I want. I just can't with that fool, man. I don't even get it. The people who are still buying into this shit, like, after everything we've seen, I don't get it. I don't get it. You can see, like, corporations are starting to get it right now. Like, especially when they go, like, we're removing our DEI programs. This is a new one that I didn't get the memo. I don't know if my newsletter got left, you know, somewhere, if they took it out of my mailbox or whatever, but the black community did very poorly on informing me about the Target boycott. Because Target rolled back their DEI programs, and basically what their corporation or their CEO was saying. Remember I mentioned that dude? The one who's got gift cards that got money on that I can't fucking use now? Thanks a lot, Target. Now because of this dumbass boycott, I can't wait to get my other heads, get my either a new headset, like another Kraken, or to get the ear cups for this one, because this thing is going back. And that money can sit there for a hot minute. I'm like, nah, I paid with this with the fucking debit card. You're going to give me cash money right now. Fuck Target. Like, you could tell, like, they were paying lip service to it, like, just as a corporation. I'm certain the people that work there probably felt some kind of way about the shit, because now they're watching people, like, just not coming into Target. It's just a weird thing to have happen. But they're, you know, they followed along in step with the glorious orange leader, and now they're paying the price for it. Like, you forgot that these are real people you're fucking with. It's not just numbers on a spreadsheet. These are real people with feelings and families. They're gonna feel some kind of way about this. And when they start to react in that way, like, it's gonna hurt you. Target's fucking around and finding out. It's gonna be a bad week for them. They're about to eat shit. You know, also it was bad for. This isn't, like, I don't think it's really anything new. You know what I mean? Like, this has been around for a hot minute, but let me just pull this thing. Because this was this past week in the news. And this is also coming from Newsweek, which I'm going to be honest with you, kind of a rag. But it was a cool bit of story that we got to learn about some people fucking around and finding out. This courtesy from my Discord from Bug and Jalen. So thank you for doing a little bit of producing. Props to y'all. Thank you very much. But yeah, in the Fuck Around and Find Out Club, Florida Republican, or a Florida Republican representative by the name of Kat Kamick, basically, said in May of 2024, she needed a shot of, let me see if I say this right, methotrexate to help expel an ectopic pregnancy. Here's the problem. Florida's had some real shitty records when it comes to dealing with women's health and healthcare, particularly reproductive healthcare. So they passed like a very amorphous kind of ban on abortion and abortion services, which has made a lot of providers here in the state very leery of trying to administer any kind of abortion services, let alone even something like methotrexate. Because they don't want to be perceived as big breaking the law or colluding with someone to break the law. So here you go. We got Representative Republican. I want you to remember this. Florida Republican Representative Kat Kamick ends up in an emergency room trying to get an ectopic pregnancy expelled in May of 2024. Guess what else happened in May of 2024, children? That's right. Florida signed that funky-ass abortion law into effect. So, that was on the 1st of May. So, it made abortions illegal after 6 weeks with some very narrow exceptions. So, here are the penalties. They could face up to 5 years in prison, fines of up to $5,000, and if you're a doctor, you could lose your medical license. So, now you can no longer work. Pretty neat, huh? Now, while it says the law did not explicitly ban ectopic pregnancies, this is what happens when, like, a fetus is implanted outside of the uterus. It's rare, but it happens, and it's almost completely a non. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. From what I understand, it's like basically a non-viable pregnancy. But they can really, I mean, it can be lethal. It can be lethal for the mother. And it requires basically an abortive procedure, or you'd have to actually, you know, if you can't get methotrexate to expel the baby, sometimes you have to have surgeries to remove them. Very traumatic, very painful. It's a horrible thing to have to go through. It's just part of life. It's unfortunate. But, and you're already in a situation where maybe you're excited about having a baby, and then you start having these pains, and then you find out you're having an ectopic pregnancy, and then you're basically going to have to know that the baby you're hoping for is going to die, and it could possibly kill you. And you live in a place where the doctors are basically not allowed to do anything about it if it lasted long enough. I mean, if it hadn't been for the fact that she was within that 6-week barrier, what if the doctor's like, we can't do this? You're going to watch a Republican senator, a Republican representative just die in an emergency room? Sorry for your luck. Guess what else? This is a real, ooh, you got the tea is hot. Not just the tea in my cup. The tea on this story is hot as hell. She fought for this bill and signed it. She voted to get this thing passed. So she had literally had to fuck around and found out. And when she fucked around, she found out that she was having an ectopic pregnancy. And then she fucked around and found out she almost died in the hospital because of some shit she did. She's like, well, I don't blame the doctors. I blame the anti-abortion. I blame the abortion, you know, people who are like, yo, we were pro-choice. They're sending bad messaging out there about what this law is actually about. This is what she says. I'm going to go straight from her own fucking words. It was absolute fear-mongering at its worst. There will be some comments like, well, thank God we have abortion services, even though what I went through was not an abortion. And that's right, because the fetus is already dead. Sucks. I'm not making light of that. It's just what happened. You know? Like I said, when this happened to her, that was back in May. She signed off on this thing that went into law effective May 1st. So later on that month, right after this ban goes into effect, it was almost like God was like, ha ha ha, all right now, you asked for this. Slapped her with that shit, which, again, not funny, not happy that it happened to her. It's unfortunate as fuck. As like I said, this would be incredibly painful. It's very terrifying. If you're looking to have a child, this heartbreaking news to know that you haven't actually, you don't have a viable baby, a fetus that you can carry to term. And then on top of that, you got to worry about the law. Not only the heartbreak and the emotional and physical pain, you got to worry about the law now too. So it took them until fucking September to actually get together some guidance about how this law was supposed to be applied, all right? So the Florida Agency for Healthcare Administration finally issued guidance. This is what it says on Newsweek, by the way, to address what it called misinformation about the state's abortion law. What they're not saying is they didn't write this clearly and succinctly so that providers would know what their legal rights and responsibilities were as well as patients. So we fucked up, right? They fucked up writing this bill, and now, as opposed to calling it misinformation, you should be calling it, hey, our legislator did a shit job of writing legislation, so it's unclear. But again, like I said, always got to spin something, right? Can't call it what it really is. It states that abortion is permissible at any state of pregnancy in Florida to save the life and health of the mother, including in cases of ectopic or molar pregnancies and when there's premature rupture of the membranes. Wow. That couldn't have been in the original bill. You know how much clearer that would have been for the doctors? And look, I got nothing against Kat Kamick as a person. I don't know her. I know it's a shitty thing that she did voting for this bill. I can say that. And while I don't necessarily want her to go through pain or suffering or anything like that, that's not my goal. I don't really care. Like, I care because it's not human to not care. Like, I don't want her dead, but, I mean, again, you made this bed, and now you have to lie in it. And the reason why I say I don't care is because she didn't seem to care about, like I said it in the Discord too, but she didn't seem to care about the hundreds, thousands of women across the country who had to deal with this or worse. Where was her compassion then? So, I mean, my compassion was with those women back then, but you didn't have any compassion for them. You didn't even consider them. And this is what we were saying. They don't think about this kind of shit until it comes home. When the chickens finally come home to roost, baby, they come back in force. So now she got to sit here in this emergency room and literally deal with the consequences of her actions. Not just the ones that got her pregnant, but also the ones that got her in the position where the doctors were like, hey, man, I'm not going to jail for you. You're not about to cost me my license and my livelihood. You're going to have to die. Hey, you know what I mean? That's a real choice that a medical professional is going to have to make. Do I save this patient or do I save myself and my family? You had an opportunity to not do this to yourself and you still chose to act against your own self-interest. Now, my dear lady, what should you like us to do? I'd like to say I feel bad for her. I don't. I don't hate her. I don't wish any ill will on her, but I really don't give a fuck. And so she didn't care about those other people, all these other women, all these other families. Because it takes two to tango. What if there was actually a husband and wife who were trying to get pregnant and then they had to run the risk of, oh shit, my wife could die because of this pregnancy, but the doctors won't do anything because they're worried about going to jail. Now I'm going to be a widow. She's going to be dead. Our baby's going to be gone. Lives ruined. But who gives a fuck about them, right? I do. That's why I don't really give a fuck about what happened to her. It's unfortunate, but I'm not going to shed blue tears over it. And I think we need to start calling that kind of shit out and not letting them get off the hook for it. Call me crazy, but they wouldn't be this kind and genteel towards us. So you made this law. You obviously wanted to stand on business. Well, stand on that business, sis. Like, what do you mean? Oh, now you want them, you're going to put them in this position. You want them to help you. But you ain't do nothing to help make this right for them. You actually put them in fear of losing their jobs and breaking the law. But you wanted to break the law for you so you can live. But fuck them and their families, right? If they did it for somebody else. That was one of the comments that was made too. It's like, yeah, they don't. We might know they weren't breaking the law. Maybe even Representative Kamik might have known they weren't breaking the law. But the doctor's like, I don't know that. I'm not a lawyer. And I wouldn't trust it to be left up to interpretation in the courts, which are very Republican leaning, that if they thought I was doing something that didn't fit within their agenda, that they wouldn't just, you know, send me up the river for it. I don't know. Maybe they'll let me get away with it because it's you. What if it was anybody else? Literally anybody else. Would you let me do this then? Probably not. I said it before, and I hate to be right about this kind of shit. I've mentioned this already. The machine's going to have to eat a couple white girls and before this stuff changes. I'm sorry to tell you all this, but usually if you want to get something like this heinous changed, you got to throw a couple of, you know, you got to throw a couple of pretty young white girls into the volcano to appease the gods on this one. And Representative Kamik wasn't quite good enough of a sacrifice. Now, she might work because it's hitting Florida Republicans, but it's probably going to have to eat a couple more of you. And I'm sorry to say that because it sounds ugly and mean, but it's just history. Again, I'm just telling you what I've seen. When something like this happens and, you know, things get walked back, unfortunately, as much as you might not want to hear it, it does require for some time, like sometimes it requires that like a couple of white girls got to go. It's unfortunate, but that's the only way they seem to give a shit is when it finally hits home. And the problem with that is that stupid kind of thinking means that when it does hit home, it hits hard. And you're like, oh, fuck. You're like, yeah, we know. Now you care. But our people are hurting. Our people are losing. Why does it only matter when it happens to you? Why the fuck do you have to wait for it to get that far before you give a shit about us? Anyway. Ugh. Weirdness, man. Weirdness shit. Actually, we got some Patreon questions. I'm going to go ahead and get into those before we wrap the episode up here. Got a little bit of time left. I'm not going to try to make this a two-hour thing. But yes, thank you again for writing in. My wonderful, wonderful, lovely friend. And you guys feel free to write in as well. And I'll be reading your podcast questions just like this one. Questions for the podcast. Thank you, by the way, listener and patron. Thank you very much for your support. One we've already discussed, but figured it would be funny for the pod. Would you rather be with someone, quote, innocent so that you could, quote, corrupt them and teach them what you know? Or would you be with someone who's more experienced and hope they could teach you something? We had this discussion like during a stream once and they're like, yeah, man, like, would you want to, I forget what predicated it, but the idea was, if you're with somebody who's like a virgin, basically, if we're talking in the sexual sense, if you're with somebody who's brand new to everything, like, you could quote, the idea was like, would you corrupt them and ruin them, teach them all your weird things that you like and try to get them into them? Or would you rather be with someone who is more experienced and hope that they could teach you a thing or two? I'm like, ooh, that's a horrible question. Let's try it. I don't know. I think the more experienced thing would probably be the way I would tend to lean. That was how I was. But I was always more adventurous just in general. Not even just sexually, just in general, more of an adventurous kind of person. I'll try new foods. I'll, you know, watch a different type of movie. I will go and explore a new area. I've moved around the country on my own just at random. Literally, this is called the Wandering One podcast because I used to just wander around the fucking country. Every couple of years, I would just pack up and move to an entire new city, maybe even a new state. So that's where I got the name from. That was just how I lived my fucking life. But yeah, that was just me doing me. So yeah, I think I would have probably preferred someone who had more experience or at least was a little bit more adventurous in that regard. So yeah, we could try some new stuff, you know, get down and, you know, but that's just how I would live life in general. Somebody with a little bit of like a verve, you know what I mean? Some like a passion for adventure and stuff like that. That's super cool. Yeah, I wouldn't want the idea of like, you know, come here, little girl, let me teach you stuff. It's like just even the way it's worded, just, yeah. I know we were joking around about it, but yeah, there's also something that comes along with that too, like, because I was actually in that situation when I was younger, and you know, taking someone on a guided tour of their sexual, you know, journey is not really what I'm in for. Maybe that would have been the thing I would look for when I was like in my, you know, teens or 20s, you know, when I was first starting to go out there and get out in the world, like in my college years, even high school, that might have been cool. Not even really. No, I think it probably would have been like, it would have been cooler like in my early 20s. I'm almost 40 now. I ain't trying to teach nobody shit. I mean, if you don't know what you need to know about you, that's just how I'm approaching it. You know what I mean? Because if I was out there doing this right now at my age, I'd be like, I'm not trying to teach you nothing. If you don't know what you like, I am not sitting here trying to put all this extra effort in there. Teach me some new stuff. I'm going on the back nine right now. I want to try some different shit. So there's that question. Anyway, yeah, definitely someone more experienced. And then what are some of your biggest hopes for your personal future? I got a lot of hopes. A lot of hopes and dreams. One of them, honestly, is to get and do some more voice acting or just acting in general. I did a table read for this one production. I have never heard back from them since. I've emailed them. I've sent them updates about, like, you know, my email address and my phone number, shit like that. You know, kept them up to date. I'm like, hey, my schedule is super open. I can be really flexible. I haven't heard shit back from them. So I'm like, all right. Kind of threw that away. And I did this one job, which was cool. But I'd love to do like more actual acting work. Like whether it's on stage or on screen, preferably screen. I've always wanted to be in movies or television as an actor. I'd love to do more of that kind of work. But I would also be happy to do voice acting work. You know somebody who's developing a video game or something like that? Or maybe they need like an ebook read or something? Send them my way. I'd be more than happy to give it a spin. And hopefully they like what they hear. And then I'd be doing more of that work. That'd be great. Because I don't necessarily have to travel. But if I did, you know, if they're like, hey, we need you to come to our studios in such and such place. Guess what? I get to go and see some new stuff. Get to try something brand new. That'd be incredibly exciting for me. You know, that'd be really fun. Also, I would love to see this podcast get up to like 1,000 listens. I'll be quite honest with you. I'll be happy if it averages like 10. I'll be stoked if it hits 100 every podcast. But I'd like to get it up to a consistent, you know, like, I mean, up there numbers. I mean, I would love to see this thing hit like, you know, 1,000 downloads a week. That'd be awesome. That would be absolutely brilliant. Same thing with my stream. Like, I'd like the creative ventures that I'm into. I think one of the hardest things for me is, like, sometimes when I feel like I've hit a wall or I'm not moving forward the way that I'd like to or the way I feel like I should, I can get discouraged sometimes. And then I start to question whether or not it's even worth it. But I will say that there are some things, like I'd like to grow my affiliateship with Aimbot, which you can check out Aimbot, I mean, in the description of this podcast. Click the link that's in there and go check it out for yourself. I endorse the product. I like it. I use it. I recommend it to people. And I believe in it. So you can use my affiliate code there too. W1 Studios, all caps. To get some discounts on your order. Like shit like that. I'd like to be able to do more. I'd like to do an actual ad read for Aimbot. You know what I mean? Or just do ad reads in general. Like I would love to get paid to be like, hey, you know, you're doing such and such thing. We're going to sponsor you for this or, you know, put you on this, that. I'm like, all right, yeah, an actual sponsor would be awesome. You know what I mean? And they're doing like sponsored reads. That'd be dope. But then again, that goes into the voice acting thing. So, yeah, I'd like to do more of that kind of stuff. And then being able to do that without having to stress myself out over, like, who's going to get what done when. I think it would make it easier for me to go back into doing more artwork, which I love doing. I love drawing. But I just felt like so drained and so unmotivated over the last year or two. Just the day-to-day and the doldrums of just doing the regular whatnot and shuffle. And it's kind of like sucked some of the joy out of it, you know? Drawing used to not just be a job thing. It used to be like also fun. And so now like I feel like because I don't have a normal job, I don't deserve to have fun. If that makes any sense? Like I rarely play video games just to do it. Like I love gaming. But if I'm not streaming, I feel like I'm wasting time playing video games. I know that sounds fucked up and funky. Like, I should be able to enjoy my quote-unquote downtime too. But I feel like I don't deserve it. Like, I haven't earned it or I don't merit it. Like, I'm not worthy of it. Does that make sense to anybody? I don't know. Maybe I'm just rambling. But I hope that I can get rid of that. Find some way to turn what I love to do and the things that I am doing into a more profitable version of that thing so I don't feel guilty or... So I don't feel wasteful or useless or unmotivated, whatever. You know what I mean? Just to find the joy back in it again. And it's not all gone, but I mean, it'd be nice to have it like as sparked up, you know what I mean? As I know it could be. It's kind of a rambling answer, but that's what I got. Let's see. Ari, the latest podcast, The American Flag and Uncertainties. This is the second email. As a military brat and combat veteran myself, I used to believe that the American flag represented everyone, that all the things that divide us, race, religion, politics, and creed, that the American flag was something we could get behind. I read that incorrectly. That of all the things that divide us, race, religion, politics, and creed, that the American flag was something we could get behind. It would break my heart to see flags disgraced, be it shitty soldiers or being burned and or stepped on. But as I grew older, and especially after my deployment, I've come to realize just how untrue those beliefs were, how naive and rooted in ignorance they were. The American flag has always represented a white cishet society built on the backs of enslaved people. There was never a time where it united us. Now, especially now, I've come to associate the American flag with the maggots, red hats, and bigots. I learned that those that, quote, respect the flag, end quote, only do so to shit on and shut up legitimate grief and strife people have because of America. Ooh, got some real facts spitting here. I used to wear that flag proudly. You don't wear a frag, that's a grenade. I used to wear that flag proudly, and now I'm ashamed of my own service. I'm ashamed of the fact that I played into the military-industrial complex, that I believed that we as soldiers were doing the right thing. But in all honesty, I and many other service members, we were just pawns in a rich man's game. The American flag does not represent me, nor does it represent everyday Americans. Those that believe otherwise have never opened a history book, aside from the whitewashed fables taught to us in schools. And I can't drop this mic, because I don't have a replacement one, but if I could, I would. Wow. What a treatise. Actually, I'm not going to lie, it's kind of heartbreaking. Because I know that feeling. I wanted to join the military too. I didn't. Ultimately, I came to these realizations much younger. Otherwise, you would never have heard this. I came to those realizations in my early mid high school years. I was like, the military is not for me. And I don't believe in the promise of America. Because as a black and Hispanic man, I'm not afforded the luxury to believe in it. You know what I mean? Just because my last name is, you know, Flores, I mean, who knows? If I get pulled over and some cop's got a wild bug up his ass, maybe he calls ICE, then I don't get to go home that night. That's a very real fear that people have. But I mean, I get this feeling. We were talking about this, and I remember this conversation, that the American flag doesn't inspire feelings of patriotism or pride or unity or togetherness. It's come to represent fear and racism and misogyny. And it doesn't look like a flag. It looks like a bruise. And everybody I see wearing it is a domestic abuse survivor, basically, whether they realize it or not. The American flag is just basically another black eye. It's unfortunate to feel that way. I know exactly how that feels. And I get this listener's entire chain of thought here. And I wish to God that I did not. I wish that I had no idea what it felt like to feel that kind of despondency in the state of this country. But on the other hand, I still have hope, though. Because there are people out there like this listener, like you, who are listening right now, who actually do give a shit about other people, who move in compassion and kindness and, you know, and faith and hope. You know what I mean? Who help their neighbors, who are good to their families. You know what I mean? You're good to strangers. You believe that this can work. You believe that this, America, just even society in general can work. That we can work together to be better, to be bigger. You know what I mean? To represent the higher ideals that, you know, we were told that this flag represented. We believe in those things, and so we can make that happen. And when there are other people out there who, like, don't hold those same ideals, step on them or mistreat others because of them, it's very easy to get discouraged. It's very easy to give up. And that's what you have to remember. You're never really in this alone. We're all out here doing this thing together. And if you ever need a reminder, come on back over. I'll talk to you. Write me an email. We'll talk it out. There's some weird stuff going on in the world, but there's some cool stuff going on in the world too. You might not see it every day. It's not usually as heavily reported. The more sensational stuff is definitely more interesting to listen to. But thank you for those letters. Thank you, subscribers and patrons and friends and listeners. Send some more in. I'd love to read some more of your thoughts on anything I talk about here on the podcast or even the stream, whatever it is. Or even if you've got a question of your own, write me up and let me know. I got some things to talk about to close this off real quick. You know what I saw? I haven't watched all of Cobra Kai. I need to go back and watch that series because I really enjoyed it when I was watching it. I saw this on the news today. So Cobra Kai star Martin Kobe, if you don't remember him, he's Sensei Kreese from the original movies. You know, the one who's like the leader of Cobra Kai, allegedly bit his own co-star, that's Alicia Hannah Kim, while they were at a fan convention. This dude's wild. He was wild back then, but the fact that he bit a chick, she says that he bit her so hard he nearly drew blood. Why are you biting somebody, bro? Ain't you grown? Like, I want to know more about the story. I'm trying to find more about it. If I find more about it by next week, I'll definitely, you know, fill you guys in on the details or whatever. But yeah, why are you biting people out here, bruv? That is so stupid. What a weird, and he's not, I mean, maybe he's not balling out of control, Rich, but I mean, he's famous enough that he don't have to be biting chicks. I mean, you could bite a chicken nugget. Don't bite a chick. Yeah, that's weird. Unconscionable behavior. You know, I was thinking about this. Then I just looked at my notes. I'm like, there was something else I wanted to say. So I had this weird dream. You guys know I always have weird dreams. I just should basically just say now, if I talk about it, I just had a dream. Not like Martin Luther King, where I had this cool dream. Mine are always fucking bizarre. I had this dream the other night that I was like on this like work trip. Like I was traveling for something. And I was doing like an internship or something like that. It felt like it was like a travel agency or like a resort kind of thing. Like I was working for some kind of resort or something. But this place had like the craziest office in the world. So it was like right on the edge of the beach, like right on the shore. And the office kind of like was built out a little ways into the ocean. So when you walked in, it was like this big, the steel and glass buildings, right? There's like a main floor, and then there's like the upper offices, and then there's conference rooms and stuff like that, like the second and third floors. And I'm walking around the place. I want to say like delivering like files or something like that to people. And then I was done, and I'm walking around, and I look, and it looks like there's an aquarium, right? I'm like, that's pretty neat. I wonder why they did that, you know? Then I realized that it was fed by the ocean. Like, they had somehow designed this thing so that fish could swim up into the aquarium and just be living around in there. And then the aquarium was like built over the actual shoreline. And if you walk down like this set of stairs, you would actually walk into the beach, like into the beach and into the water. It's a very bizarre design. I don't know if I could draw it if I had a million years, but it was crazy fun. And then like it was in the middle of this dream, like something else kicked off. I can't remember exactly how. But my dreams always shift locations. And so in the middle of this dream, I end up showing up at like a train station. And I don't know if you guys have this, but sometimes I have set piece dreams where like it'll be like the same kind of set over and over again, basically. My brain is just kind of like like an old theater. They just wheel out a set and put an extra set of, put like a couple little window dressings, a fresh coat of paint on it. Like, and now it's this place instead. So like my production crew needs to get a couple of, maybe I need to give them a pay raise or something because they need to get this shit together, get me some new scenery. But yeah, I usually end up seeing this like same kind of train station terminal and then like a similar kind of like bar street slash like urban, cool, trendy store look like street. And I was running through this place. And like somebody was chasing me, and there's this weird like parkour section. I'm fighting some dudes. This dream went all over the place, bro. And then after that happened, I had another dream. I don't think it was the same night. It was another dream, a similar dream, that I was cruising down to the beach. And how would this go? We went through like a series of like, if you ever go to like a beach town, they have like a seaside strip mall kind of thing, right? There's a bunch of crazy, cool little stores selling funky tchotchkes and tourist kind of shit, right? So I was walking along that kind of strip, and then like usually there's like another strip that's a little off the actual beach where there's like, bars and restaurants and stuff like that. So I did that loop where I walked the beach side, and then I walked back down the main street, and I was bike riding and stuff. And then I don't know how I ended up working at one of the places. Like they're like, we just need somebody to cover us for the night. And I was like, I guess I could do that. I mean, I've worked in restaurants before. And then when I walked in, it was like a bunch of people that I either met through restaurants or I met at like comic book conventions or game conventions I've been to. And I don't remember everybody, but I knew a couple of people that were in there. I'm like, hey, what are you doing here? They're like, I'm just here to hang out and chill. What are you doing here? I'm like, I guess I'm working. I was kind of blown away by that. And they're like, yeah. They're like, yeah, it's weird to see you here. I'm like, it's weird to be here, to be quite honest. I'm like, you mind if I sit down and like chill with you guys for a little bit? No, they're like, cool, come on in. I'm like, all right. Yeah, and then it just ended. It was just weird. Like, it didn't go anywhere. It didn't do anything. It just like kind of was like, doo 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 doo. And then I woke up. I'm like, what is happening right now? I just had a dream last night where I ran into somebody. This is also ran into somebody that I met when I first started doing like, going to gaming events out here in the city. I haven't seen her in fucking years. I think she's like, last time I talked to her, I was talking to her about her cat and she was looking for some, tips on food and healthcare and stuff like that. So I was giving her a little bit of information I could come up with. And because she and her fiance had just gotten a new cat. So they were like, can you help us out? I'm like, yeah, I'll give you the information I know and put you in touch with people or places that might be good. But yeah, I had some dream that we were roommates. And I was helping her clean out like a closet so that we could, I think it was like build an office space, like build office space into the area. I don't know. It was weird. And I had no frame of reference for that either. Like I said, I haven't talked to this person in probably like a year. Maybe not that long, but close. I don't see them on a regular basis. I don't have social media, so I couldn't keep up with them even if I tried. So, I don't know. It's weird when your brain does stuff like that. Just speed dumps shit on you, and you're like, what is happening right now? But we're going to wrap this up here in just a minute. But I want to give you guys a little bit of homework. If you haven't done it already, go to the Netflix and watch K-Pop Demon Hunters. I know. Some of you might be like, K-Pop Demon Hunters, what is that? Why would I watch it? Well, I'll give you a couple little pointers here. It's got the pedigree of being a Sony animation film done by the same production team that worked on the Into the Spider-Verse films. Starring Miles Morales, you know what I mean? So there's that pedigree. The art style is going to look very familiar. The animation is going to look very familiar. But it's also fresh and unique. It's a fun story. It's got great music. You wouldn't have known this very often. I mean, you should figure it out from the name, but it is a musical. So it kind of has a little bit of that Disney Pixar feel to it in a way. But the music is fantastic. The story is great. You're going to feel feelings because it's just got like a really cool emotional turn in the film. But it's just excellent. It's just overall excellent. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. And I would gladly watch it again. Maybe if enough people ping me about it, you know, we'll figure out some way to do a movie night or something. I might just do it for my Discord. I don't know. But it's something I would definitely enjoy watching again. I think you guys will enjoy it as well. So if you do watch it and you, you know, have some feelings about it, again, go over to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios and write me, and we can talk about your thoughts on K-pop Demon Hunters. We could talk about your thoughts on Cat Kamek's unfortunate news and how that impacts the rest of society. Talk about technology, and do you think it's great? And just, do you think it's great? Do you think it's getting worse, or do you think it's, they're just getting lazy? I don't know. Or you can hit me with one of the questions and comments like our lovely listeners did today. So let me know what you think. I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to make me some lunch because it's about 12:45 and I'm hungry. But thank you guys again for listening. This has been another episode of the Wandering One podcast. I've been Link Flores. You guys have been amazing. And I will catch you wanderers a little further on down the road. Peace out and go check out Aimbot as well. Remember, Aimbot energy supplements, good stuff, and I think you guys are totally going to enjoy it. I'm really excited for it, and I hope you guys are too. All right, I'm getting out of here. Bye. No, seriously, bye. Like, the button is stuck. Yep, there we go.